So you were having lots of Twitter fun over the last couple days.
Was I?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice. I just Twitter, and that's what I do.
Right.
What could I possibly Twitter about?
I did retweet that. Having fun talking to people about episode one.
Oh, your boy.
Yes.
Your boy,
Not words.
What?
I said, my boy, not words.
Not words. He's, this guy apparently his wrestling gimmick is he's a pool shark from Arizona.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because isn't he like Yuma Fats, like the pool player?
Oh, no. Like, his name these days is just Yuma.
Right.
But then he has the name Fats Yuma.
Fats Yuma. Yeah, he's like Minnesota Fats.
Right.
So I figured he was a pool shark. No. That was his wrestling gimmick.
No.
Does he really like the prequels?
He is one of those people that is of the mindset, if it's Star Wars, it's good.
Oh, like Doctor Who, gotcha.
He, I wouldn't call him a prequel apologist, because there's enough of those to go around.
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of those guys who, like, read all the books and everything.
Right.
with the toy fair that was happening this past weekend, I guess there's some new Tusken Raider figure.
Right.
To which he tweeted out the picture of it and said, I need this like I need air in my lungs.
You gotta love the style.
Right, right.
I know the feeling.
Right.
I love when I interact with your people on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
That's when I think I shine.
You're dipping your toe into... See, and I like that you go into it with reckless abandon.
What do you mean?
And by reckless abandon, I mean, as far as you know, mm-hmm. these are just people.
Aren't they just people?
They are just people.
Okay.
However, there are other people who, when interacting with people of the wrestling persuasion,
mm-hmm.
are very cautious, choose their words carefully, don't want to say anything that might offend.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're just like, yeah, here's the thing I'm going to say. And I'm like, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
See, I wonder if I'm that way with like comic creators and like stars that I like, but wrestlers... Nah.
Right. I have a screen cap from Facebook that says you're not.
Oh, that is true. But that I have to be pushed to.
Right. Oh, so kids. Yeah, it says, I need those Walmart exclusives like air in my lungs. I want at least 4 Tusken Raiders.
Oh, if he gets a, like 52 or 53, he could have the Oakland Tusken Raiders.
Well, they're not going to be Oakland anymore. What are they going to be? They're going to be Las Vegas Tusken Raiders?
It's probably not going to happen.
Oh, no.
Yes, it looks like it's falling through. Because the billionaire who was putting up like $600 million, mm-hmm. who owns like casinos and stuff, was like, okay, I'm putting up my money. So I get an owner's stake in the team, right? And they're like, we can't have a casino owner having an owner's stake in a football team. And he's like, all right, I'm going to take my money and go home.
Right.
So now the $1 billion, like, the city was putting up some of it, and he was putting up, like, more than half. So they're trying to get somebody else to do it. And in Vegas, there's, like, a billionaire on every street corner. So it still might happen, but it looks like it might just have to work out a deal with Oakland or anybody else. If they go somewhere else, I'm going to be mad. Oakland or Vegas, those are the only two places they can go. They can't be like the San Antonio Raiders. That's just no.
Well, like, doesn't Texas have like 6 teams?
I'm just using that as an example. Like I was trying to think of a big. Texas has the only 2, I think. Houston and the Dallas Cowboys.
What? I think they had another one.
I could be wrong. I don't know every, like, I don't know geography well. That's one of my weak spots. But anyway.
Why are there no Canadian teams?
I don't know. I know they like sending people to other countries to play games for exhibitions. Not at, like, a real game, but not like they have a team in that country. But I don't know why they don't have a Canada team. A Canadian team.
Because isn't there just the one left now in baseball?
I know Montreal they got rid of.
Right. They're the Washington Senators or something again.
Right. Toronto, I think, is the last.
Right.
But I don't know, because I don't watch American cricket.
Right. Oh, boy.
Why?
I was poking some people in the Puzzle Quest group, because I guess there was a disputed issue at UFC this past weekend that led people to believe that it might be fixed.
I'm actually surprised you didn't mention that football was at work, but I don't know.
When they were complaining about it, and they were saying, now I think that football is fake. And I said, it'll never be as fake as the NFL.
Oh, my God. You really like pushing that one, don't you? That's your gentle ribbing, I swear to God.
Now, we're recording, of course. This is episode 118 of Longbox Heroes After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Just assume we're always recording when we first start up.
I do. I make sure I give nothing incriminating at the beginning.
Did you see the story that happened earlier this week with your friend Phil? Talking Dead commentator Phil?
No. Did he? Is he picking on poor Ryback again or something? No.
So, okay. As I'm sure you're aware, The Rock is making a movie of the life of your future ex-wife's family.
Yes.
Okay.
I know that. So, and they have somebody who looks just like her playing her.
Oh, boy.
That's all I'm going to say.
Write that down.
Okay.
So,
I'm writing that down. I'm just writing page. You'll know what it means, yes. Right?
Okay. So last night they were in L.A. at the Staples Center, and they were filming what I guess is going to be the finale of the film. Like, I just heard about this movie, like, 3 weeks ago, and they're already filming the movie.
Well, you know, Joe, they film things out of order. It's not
start... What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if they're filming the first scene of the movie, the last scene of the movie. It's, we'll hear about a movie, and then principal photography will take, like, place months later.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this movie on February 1st, right. And they're filming it on February 20th.
Well, maybe they had all the pieces in place. Maybe they want to get Paige before, like, you know.
They don't want to wait for the body to be cold is a way that you're putting it.
They want this movie to have a happy ending, Joe.
So, you know, this is The Rock's movie. He's involved with, I guess, Stephen Merchant is involved with it as well.
Okay.
And they were filming, like, promo stuff, and they were filming wrestling stuff when Paige beats AJ Lee for the Divas title. I guess that's going to be the finale to the film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they do all the promo stuff, they do all the entrances, they do a bunch of whatevers, and then they have stunt double people come in and do, you know, the bumps and what have you.
Right.
So The Rock was there, and he was instructing the crowd, you know? He was like, oh, when so-and-so comes out, boom, like you do Roman Reigns, you know?
Oh my God, he didn't say that, did he?
He certainly did.
Oh God.
Now, I would never accuse anyone in the world of professional wrestling of using any sort of chemical or powder, perhaps, to enhance their promo ability.
Right.
But this would not be the first time that The Rock may have appeared at a World Wrestling Entertainment event in the last 5 years with a little assistance, if you will.
A little wide-eyed, if you're saying?
Sure, sure. So he says things like that, but then also during the filming of it, you know, he's working the crowd, he's getting him into a frenzy, and he says, hey, I have an idea. Why don't I give CM Punk a phone call, and we can all say hi to him?
Oh my God.
So he gets Punk's message, he gets Punk's answering machine, and he's leaving him a message.
Uh-huh.
And Vince apparently is blowing a gasket backstage and sends a referee out and say, hey, stop talking about the guy who's suing us. Right. And then we're conversely countersuing.
Right.
Let's stop doing this right now.
Let's stop harassing him by phone.
Right.
I can't see. Vince sounds like a calm guy. I can't see him blowing a gasket. I can't. I can see him backstage, like, indubitably, this was a bad idea. Like, something like that. That's my Vince impression.
Indubitably?
Indubitably, that was a bad idea.
That's your goddamn pal?
Yeah.
So, the other thing is, I don't remember if it was on the main show last week or if it was on After Dark last week. That we were talking about gentle ribbing in the world of professional wrestling.
Yes.
And Mark Cole would mention that there was one I should specifically tell you about.
Well, you were going to show me, you said. Like, is this where you, like, pull a joke on me and then be like, this is what someone did to somebody else?
Well, again, I only said that to get a rise out of him because obviously he knows what it is and you don't.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you what it is.
Right.
This happened in the early days, and I say the early days, late 70s, early 80s in Memphis. There was a tag team, two gentlemen by the name of, and again, their names really won't matter, but I'll just say Dennis Condrey and Phil Hickerson.
Okay.
And in the territory, Memphis, there was a new guy there who was from Japan. And Phil Hickerson gets the idea, let's play a rib on this guy. We'll be here in this back dressing room, and when he opens up the door, we'll make it look like you're blowing me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Or I'm blowing you, right? It'll be a funny rib. He walks in, he'll think we're gay, and we'll all have a good laugh.
Uh-oh. I see many ways this can go.
Okay. So, Dennis Condrey is the gentleman standing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is facing the door.
Right.
Phil Hickerson is the one in front of him on his knees.
Gotcha.
So they're waiting, they're waiting, they're waiting. And Dennis says, hey, Phil, keep a lookout, see if he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dennis, looking directly at the door, can see this.
Mm-hmm.
Phil turns, looks, and then quickly turns his head back.
Right.
Dennis decides to turn the rib around on Phil and uh-oh, really put his penis in his mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, we're just having fun.
It sounds like a Joe Rogan routine.
Oh, my goodness. No, this is funny. There's a difference.
Oh, my goodness.
And this hates on women in no way and doesn't go on for 9 hours about weed.
Oh, boy. So
I don't like Joe Rogan. I think he's pretty terrible.
But he's a UFC guy.
Oh, that's... We're not even past the top 10 of things that are terrible about Joe Rogan before we get to UFC guy.
Gotcha. But he was on news radio. So doesn't that, like, clean the slate?
No.
Doesn't that, like, balance the scales?
No, it maybe gives him one. And, like, that's the thing. He wasn't even, like, he's maybe, like, ninth guy down on news radio?
What? He was, like, 3.5. I don't know. I'm kidding.
No.
But so did back to the ribbing. Did anybody get, you know, did that anything come of that, or is that just the end of it?
That was just the end of it.
Okay. Just I was wanting to know if there was any more to the story, like the one guy beat the other guy up, or, you know, because usually these wrestling stories ends in a nice stabbing.
No, I think it was one of those things where. Because it was Phil who was the one like, hey, no, not that Phil. Phil Hickerson in this instance was like, hey, let's get one over on the new guy. And then since he had the tables turned on him, he was more embarrassed than anything else.
Yeah, well.
So he couldn't retaliate. He was just like, well, you know, I had a penis in my mouth. Not really sure where we go from here.
I lost that battle.
We're having fun. It's wrestling.
Yeah, just good old natured ribbon.
There was a lot of stuff like that that would happen on the road with, like, especially like in hotel rooms of, guys either naked or in their underwear jumping on someone else in the bed. And professional wrestler, ECW superstar Tommy Dreamer would always say, "It's not gay, it's wrestling."
That is true. That is true. And I think the production values come into play too.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know. What are you gonna do, you know? There's some crazy wrestling stories.
My wrestling stories are tame, man. I get in the car, I drive, I go to the show, I do my job, and I go home.
What?
Yeah.
I have a feeling there's. I can't wait for the unauthorized biography of one Joe Sposto.
Yeah.
Just the seedy underbelly of wrestling stories about Joe. I know they're out there. You say there are none, but I'm sure if I asked around, there'd be plenty of Joe stories.
I'm if you asked around, most people would say who?
Joe, Doctor Who?
Not Doctor Who or not the professional wrestler whose name was who. He
Was
was
there a who?
introduced as weighing in at who knows what from who knows where, who.
Oh. Did Horton ever hear him?
No.
Horton hears the who, get it?
Oh no, I got it.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I don't want you to miss an ounce of my funny.
Nope. Never would.
Oh, killing me.
So, is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest or discuss here for After Dark before we get into our tease for next week's Gallifrey Birds Roman numeral 2?
No, I can't think of anything. If it pops up, I'll just interrupt like I usually do.
Okay. So did I go first last time with this, or did you go first?
I don't remember. We
I
should we should
I'll you know what, I'll go first only because I saw you were tweeting the other day that you were between like two different things and you weren't sure and you keep flip-flopping on it.
Yes.
So for me, it's a clear-cut winner. I'll get you the file here shortly along with your notes of time codes and things like that of things that you could skip. Because the overall event in and of itself, as I look at it here, I think we talked about this before. Whereas the whole thing, the file that I have is like 3 hours, 10 minutes. But I could probably shave a good hour off of it.
Gotcha.
Yep. So the event that Todd will be watching for next week's Gallifrey Birds Roman numeral 2 is the World Wrestling Federation Royal Rumble from 1992. For the first time in World Wrestling Federation history, the winner of the Royal Rumble will be crowned the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion.
Wow.
30 men over the top rope, two men start off. And then another man enters every, I think, 2 minutes until only one, until all 30 people have been entered into the Rumble, and until one man remains. And the only way to be eliminated is to throw your opponent over the top rope with both feet hitting the floor.
Both feet is the important part.
That's right. And it's 1992, so it's a cavalcade of colorful, fun professional wrestling characters. And it gets to a point where there's many times that there are more people who are currently dead than alive in the ring.
Well, that happens a lot. I mean, people pass away, shuck off this mortal coil.
Right. Of natural causes at a ripe old age.
Of organ failure.
So I'm not going to say too much more about this event, but the Royal Rumble match itself goes down as one of my favorite wrestling moments to this day of all time.
Wow. Fantastic. Looking
Yep.
forward to that
So
with
I'm
Bailey.
hyping it up, and even if Todd comes back and says it's the worst thing ever, I will know forever in my heart that he is wrong.
Oh, okay. Good to know. So is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is, you're getting a second doctor story. Obviously, mine goes a little different. You're going to get one of each of the doctors. And I have boiled down to two classic stories, two of my favorite stories of his run. And one, I was gonna let you off easy with a four-episode thing. It was a little over 90 minutes. I was going to be fighting alien robots and other stuff. But I went for, that was called the Tomb of the Cybermen, but I was, nah, I'm not going to go with that one. You're getting another six-part episode called The Enemy of the World, which was recently found. There were some of the missing episodes, mm-hmm. like that got erased and stuff like that. So there was one episode saved somewhere, and they recently found the other five in Nigeria somewhere. And
someone's really trying to hide this Doctor Who footage.
That's right. But so they found the episode, they remastered them and everything, and they put them on this, and I only got it like 2 years ago or something like that and watched it. So it was a story that fully hadn't been seen since like 1968, with Patrick Troughton as the second Doctor doing a dual role, which I think the other role is going to be the one that you kind of, you know how you like your scene-chewing actors?
Yes.
Think that's going to be what the breakaway thing is. The only thing you really need to know going into this, obviously, is that he has moved on, regenerated, different actor, different kind of style to, you know, the character. Still basically the same things. Wants to help people, has the TARDIS, goes from in and out of time. But he has two new companions. One's named Victoria, who's from the 1800s, who her father died while they were on, while he was helping him out, and he asked him to watch her. So he takes her along, and the other guy is Jamie McCrimmon, who is a Scotsman from the 1700s. So just so you know, like, if they don't understand things, it's because it's like they don't have any technology. They're going to ask a lot of questions about things, and, you know, you're going to be like, why? And so be, well, because they've never seen this stuff before.
So this is deep in the realm of, this is supposed to be a show for babies teaching them, like, stuff.
What do you mean by that? I don't understand the question, honestly.
Okay, so when I watched the Aztecs saga, right, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, everyone's like, oh, that's when Doctor Who was, like, attempting to be an educational show.
At times it was, yes. Okay, it was a sci-fi show.
Right, is this still in that time of it being an educational show?
They might have. I think this was shortly after that they decided they weren't going to do any more like historically accurate stories with like facts that they were going to give you. It was like, if they do a history story now, we're like, we can do whatever we want, even if a real person, like a factual person shows up.
Right.
And this takes place in the far flung future of 2018. So be ready for that. I think it's, or it's somewhere around there, you know what I mean? But 1968, 2018 was a long way off.
Right, it seemed impossible that that people would live for another 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say virtually impossible.
Yeah. But I think you're going to enjoy it, because I actually really like this. And just for the record, this one is not all close-ups. The director, you know, stretches things a little.
They do more than the Kevin Smith style of directing.
Yep.
Alright.
It's that, like, the Donald Duck, or not, the Daffy Duck. Where's my close-up? This is a close-up? Do you remember? Where it turns out Bugs Bunny's drawing him.
Yes!
Classic episode.
It's been a long time since I've seen Looney Tunes stuff.
They don't run it because kids drop things on each other because of it.
Is that why the Three Stooges aren't around? Because kids will hit each other?
They are, but they're on AMC in the morning on Sundays. Well, they used to be. Now it's MASH. So, but I love the Three Stooges.
I wonder if it holds up today.
The Three Stooges?
Yes.
Definitely. Stupid is always funny, Joe.
Now, see, you say that.
Not real stupid. Not like stupid I have to interact with.
Oh, okay.
But stupid, like TV stupid, I'm down with. I'm fine with it. As a matter of fact, I even liked the Will Sasso Three Stooges movie. I liked it a lot. So I'm going to wear that badge proudly.
So TV, is there a difference between TV stupid and movie stupid?
No, they're movie stupid is just usually an hour and a half longer.
The reason I ask is, like, a movie like, say, you know, your early Jim Carrey films from the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your Ace Ventura, your Dumb and Dumbers, your things like that.
Right.
I feel as though, now I haven't watched any of them in not as long as you would think, that they still hold the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the newer redos of, especially Dumb and Dumber, and I think they did like a direct-to-DVD sequel to Ace yes. Ventura.
They did a direct-to-DVD sequel of Dumb and Dumber, too.
Prequel. They did the prequel.
Right.
When Harry met Lloyd, and then they did the sequel, like, within the last 2 or 3 years, where Jeff Bridges and Jim Carrey came back as frightening-looking old men.
Right. Though the prequel had Shia LaBeouf, so, I mean, it's got that going for it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, how come the older ones hold up, but the newer ones don't? And while you're saying, you know, stupid, you know, kind of, what was the line you said?
Stupid is always funny.
How come, like, the Joe Besser episodes of the Three Stooges aren't good?
Because this is my firm belief that comedians, as they get older, lose their timing.
Okay.
They really do. As you watch it, like, there's the, I believe when it comes to comedians, and I've studied a lot, when I watched a lot of comedians, a lot of stuff, there's that peak age. There's, like, you know, your younger age, you're figuring it out, you're getting, like, you know, what hits, what doesn't, what works, like 18 to like 24, and like 24 to 35. Like that, when it comes to comedians, you're firing on all cylinders, you know, your memory's good, your time, you've worked out your timing, and then after that, it all starts to go away, as far as I'm concerned. With a few exceptions. There have been people that have been funny, you know, into their, 'cause I think you get sadder as a comedian as you get older, as you're like the old clown trying to relive your glory days. It just doesn't work as well.
Where does Don Rickles fit into this?
Don Rickles might be timeless because I never get tired of seeing someone insult someone.
Right.
I love that.
You've given me a lot to think about when it comes to comedy.
Hey, this is all legit stuff, man. Don't belittle it.
No, I'm not belittling it. It makes me wonder, some of the best comedians of, you know, the 70s and 80s, either who have sadly passed on or no longer do comedy, are looked upon as more fondly than the ones that are kind of still kicking around today.
It's true. Like I said, with a few rare exceptions, like, I've seen that still hold up. And I'm telling you, as Don Rickles gets older, it's gonna fall off, but that's a way a lot of, that's why, you know, people fondly remember Steve Martin and stuff like that. The good ones know when to get out. That's basically what it is.
Right, because Eddie Murphy stopped doing stand-up essentially in 1987 with the feature-length film Raw, and he's threatened many a times for years to go back on the road and do stand-up, and he never has.
Right. Like Chappelle, you know, like Chappelle's done.
No, he's back out there.
Yeah, but he's not any good.
That's what I listen. He doesn't do the clubs around here, but from what people are saying, he's, you know, he's still got the magic.
That's not what I heard from people who saw him. Right. What do I know? All
right. I was thinking you're more Dice Clays and stuff.
Well, there are people with Dice Clay. He doesn't, like, and I think we talked about this years ago, like, and Howard Stern was like, you have to change your act. Like, he is still doing the same act that he did in 1986 or whatever it was. Like, He never evolved anything, and that's really like a one-trick pony. You know what I mean? Where other people like do topics and stuff. He's just, hey, I'm the dirtbag, dirty guy. And it's like, you know what? That only takes you so far. You can only do nursery rhymes so long before it gets old.
This is very interesting. I'm trying to think of more people. You know, people will say Jerry Seinfeld's still good. He was still touring as of a year ago.
But you know, have you noticed that these guys who do these tours, mm-hmm. and people are saying there's no like video footage of it? Like, no, like honestly, it's because it's like they stay out of the limelight. Mm-hmm. It's like that way. It's like, oh, I'll go do little clubs and stuff, and maybe that's more personal.
Well, no, Jerry Seinfeld did the, you know, and again, it's not a little club, but
I'm not talking like, you know what I mean.
But he did like the FM Kirby Center a year ago.
Right. But he's not doing stand-up specials where he's on TV, where it's televised and ever, like, where millions of people are going to see it.
It's, right.
There might be more, I don't know, something more personable about doing a live shows than it is, you know, trying to grind that out and do that, you know, in the majority public. I don't know. I think I'm onto something here.
I really do too. That's why I'm throwing names out to you. There's like comedians from the 80s and 90s who are still around today, and obviously they're nowhere near as popular as they were there, but are experiencing some level of popularity by still existing.
Right. And then, like I said, as they get older, I think that, you know, they get out of touch with what's current and what's hip. Do you know what I mean?
Now, it's like, and again, we're going to get deep on this, and, you know, so is it better? Because, like, Jerry Seinfeld isn't doing topical jokes.
Right.
Okay? He's doing his style of jokes, which allegedly are timeless, right? But he can't do the same airline peanuts joke, just as an example, that he did in 1986 in 2017.
Well, he could because they don't serve them anymore due to allergies.
Right, okay, so there's your new hot take on that joke.
Right.
But your joke in 1986 about the guys in Wham might be gay...
Right.
...might have to change in 2017, a topical joke then that does not work today.
Right, well...
Whereas your topical joke today isn't going to work in the next town, let alone a year from now.
Well, there you go. That might be why Jerry Seinfeld has longevity, is because he's not doing topical stuff.
Right.
Where tastes change and your view may not change because you're older. So somebody who's doing topical humor may not have the longevity where, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's doing like, what the hell are these things on the end of my shoelaces? Like, you know, like just dumb stuff that you can, observations that you can see about new things, and that's like we go back to Dice Clay. Like a lot of his stuff would be a hate crime now. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So,
but that's the thing. Like Dice is still out there grinding,
mm-hmm.
but the stuff that he's doing is in the same vein as what he was doing 20, 30 years ago. It's just like evolved to the next level of, well, what I said, you know, in 1987 isn't going to shock people in 2017. What is the 2017 version of saying it looked like a big lob of shit?
Well,
you need to take it to like the next gross out level.
Well, on the gross out level, yes. The gross out level, Jackass changed all that and stuff like that.
Right, but stunts are different than a joke or a statement or a something.
Right, but I'm just saying, even that, like, things that you could say have gone further and, like, you know, people aren't clutching at their pearls over certain things. But he would probably be a more shocking comedian because, spoiler alert, people take things way too seriously these days.
Right.
And get offended. Like, when we're talking about shock or offense, those are two different things sometimes. But you can offend somebody or shock somebody by what you say because, you know, like... you know what I'm trying to say. Like, especially in this day, like, Seinfeld was another one. Like, I don't want to do comedy shows on a college campus.
You know what right, I mean? Like, him and Chris Rock and a lot of other people have come out saying that. Yes, yes.
Right. So, like, that's where, like, shock and stuff is different, because I think you can eat shock crowds easier now than you could back then with certain types.
Right, but you're going to shock that crowd, and then you're going to burn that building out and never be able to go back there again.
True, but if you do, then that's your style, and you never want to go back there again anyway, because that's not your crowd.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It would be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a thing like, oh, I don't like this, but I'm going to go back. Like, they don't like me. Like, I know, so go find someplace else to peddle your wares, you know?
This is a topic for much deeper conversation.
Anytime you want to. I'm big on the comedy. I've studied a lot of guys.
Right.
I love, I keep using study, like I sat down and, but like I literally like old, like Groucho Marx movie, like all the stuff, you know what I mean? Like silent comedy. I love the old Charlie Chaplin films all the way to, you know, newer guys who are doing comedy now.
Like your Kevin Hart's and your Louis C.K.'s.
Yep, I like both of them. I think Kevin Hart's hysterical.
Now, see, I've never seen Kevin Hart tell a joke. I've seen him do spots in movies where he's a funny character, mm-hmm. but I've never seen his stand-up. So I don't know if he's a funny stand-up comedian, but I do know that he is a funny comedic actor.
I think you would really like his stand-up. I think he's solid, like really funny. I just happened to find him one day on Comedy Central, and they had like three of his stand-up specials in a row, three or four. And like I said, I don't know about the newest ones, but those like early ones when he hit like three or four in, they're all hysterical.
Where does he compare to Geechee Guy?
I don't know who Geechee Guy is. Geechee he's no guy. Hamburger.
No, he's no, and again, I forget that guy's name, and it kills me that I always forget his name. He says Hamburger.
Just do the impression. That's all I want to hear.
Hamburger.
There we go.
So, someone like, well, so Geechee Guy's thing was, he was a weird-looking guy. Mm-hmm. He also may have, had, like, a touch of something.
Right.
But part of his comedic, like, okay, part of his comedy was that he has ridden every roller coaster in the United States.
Oh, boy.
And that would be part of his closing bit.
Was it funny, though?
That's a good question.
Did you ever see it, or?
No.
Okay, that's why I thought
I've never seen it, because it's something that he does more recently, and he's one of these guys, you know how, like, there's the Branson circuit?
No.
Are you aware of Branson, Missouri?
Yes, that I know.
And how your Yakov Smirnovs and all these other different acts all have their own theater there?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. It's not just comedy. It's all sorts of other entertainment things. And your mileage on what entertainment is will vary.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just looking this up here so I can see exactly who else is in Branson, so I can kind of give you an idea.
Why do I think Harry Anderson's there doing comedy magic?
No. Okay, so I'm just going to look at, like, you've got, like, a lot of country-themed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have, oh, Shoji Tabuchi's still there. That's good to see.
Okay.
Shoji Tabuchi is a world-famous fiddler.
Okay.
World-famous fiddler. But Andy Williams is still there.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Is Bob Nelson there? Do you remember Bob Nelson?
I do remember Bob Nelson. I think, sadly, Bob Nelson has passed on.
Oh, really? You know the guy I'm talking about? He did the balloons in the shirt?
Yes.
For the football pads? One of my favorite bits ever.
And he did, like, another character that was, like, Epi Epperson or something?
Oh, yes. He was the softball player who won. It's one of my favorite bits where he's talking about, he's like, so anyway, I'm out in the, you know, I'm at shortstop, and I'm looking off into the stands, and I hear the ball, the crack of the ball, and I'm like, I know the ball's coming right for me because I'm not looking. So I look, and it hits me right in the face. So I reach down, I grab the ball, I throw it to first, and, you know, he catches the ball, and the guy says, safe, and I go nuts. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I start screaming. Duh, 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 duh. I'm like, I just realized that when I got hit with the ball, I bit off my tongue. So I'm looking around in the dirt for my tongue. And I'm like, it's not going to look like a tongue. It's going to look like all covered in dirt and wet, like a breaded veal cutlet or something. And then I step on something. And I'm like, oh no, my tongue. And I'm like, nope, wait, this is the ball. I'm like, what did I throw to first? I threw my tongue. He didn't tag him out. He just licked him on the shoulder.
The fact that you did that all from memory is amazing.
I mean, I don't have his timing. It was terrible the way I did it, but the fact that I know the whole bit, like, oh, I knew his Bob Nelson's whole bit from top to bottom at one point.
Now, I'm not seeing Yakov Smirnoff on the official Branson site.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see that there is a comedy jamboree that is there.
Let's go.
No. A lot of very safe acts. A lot of very, you know, like, country-themed acts. But, like, Branson is, like, a whole area where it's, like, all these entertainers that, like, you think no longer exist, they're all in Branson. Like, Kris Kristofferson has a theater there. Vicki Lawrence has a theater there where she does the Mama's Family tribute thing.
Just for the record, I hated Mama's Family. I hated it.
I liked the first season, mm-hmm. and then it really ran its course after that.
That was the show that drove me. I don't know why. I don't know what about it. It was like, I just hate Mama's Family. Now, if Tim Conway was on it, that'd be a whole different story. But I just, like, from when it was on the Carol Burnett show, it was really good. Like, because they had, like, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, and she'd do that character. But then they didn't bring any of those characters with them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
where I was going with this is, you have all these acts that are strictly in Branson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have these other acts that are strictly all cruise ship acts.
Ooh.
Where someone like the aforementioned Geechee guy only does his act on cruise ships. That's it.
He likes the buffet.
Right. And a lot of times you will go and do the cruise ship, and it'll be a 5, 7, 9 day cruise, and you will perform one time on that cruise.
Right.
And you still get paid your exorbitant rate, which is, hey, listen, you're on it, you know, obviously you're worth it or they wouldn't be hiring you, but then, like, you do your show and then you got to hang out on the cruise with all these people, you know, just as, like, a regular schlub, or hide in your cabin the whole time.
Hey, if you comp me drinks, I'll do the podcast from any cruise ship anywhere.
Right.
Let's do that. Let's do this podcast aboard, like, some cruise somewhere.
Maybe.
All right. That would be fantastic.
All right. We've talked a long time here.
You were the one who kept picking my brain about comedians.
Listen, it was an enthralling topic, but we have other things to take care of.
Like what? What could we possibly have to take care of?
Plugs for the network, soon to be namednetwork.com, soon to be namednetwork.tumblr.com. Be sure to check out all the shows there. New shows being added daily. And, yeah, thanks for listening. Episode 118 of Longbox Heroes After Dark, and we'll catch you next week.